Blog Talk Radio.
Go ahead, pop off, me and my clique put on. I'm like a young McMahon, I'm here to get your bitch off. Like I'm Ripley, little finger to the big boss. Man, a.k.a. police, guess I'm over your head like it's all. Kill these niggas, that's no problem. Chill, these niggas want no problem. That chopper body like Hornswoggle, can't see you shot him like Sin Cara. Rolling back with that shit loud, it ain't mine if that shit not. Ladies hate when I rip rude, but they in love with this Jake. It's like nah, say hello to my python. I'm CM Punk with that mic, y'all. She go to sleep cause my pipe bomb. Winning, blessed I be hurting feelings. Niggas is Curtis Axe, so my rap is like Kurt Henning. In it, don't it, I'm such a charmer. Come crown Vic, not talking whip, I'm thinking Lawler. Cause I'm royalty, but we talking cars, it's not a problem. Just bought two big bodies, call them Kamala and Umaga. What up? You're talking to the black guy. My gang real, but I ain't never been no vampire. Look at all that ice he got on. Bigger than that icy title. Picking up my pill, man, cause I still feel like I'm flying Brian. Who high as I am? Who fly as I am? Life is a bitch, when you this rich is more than life in China. Get it? Strong ass hoe. They can say they want that smoke. Well, I'm Papa Shango. Cause I be hopper playing low. Get the ganja, no steamboat. And I fly as a cross. Body, but I'm tired of saying so. So I do so with new producers and a slew of my latest verses. And a ruthless like Rusev move, I'll be through with you niggas first. Get back to work. You're talking to the bad guy. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the bad guy. I'm too sweet. I dare you niggas act fly. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the bad guy. Yeah, Chico. Yeah, Chico. Talking to the bad guy, toothpicking your eyes. I'm that guy. Hey y'all. Look. Something happened to me, something happened to you, okay? Hey y'all. Don't look like no Daniel B where they seeing me as a goat. Look. Hey y'all. Something happened to me, something happened to you, okay? Hey y'all. You counting your little B's, my nigga, my G's low. Can I bother you with this rhyming? Man, I father niggas with rhyming. Heard they talking right from the sideline, like a part of me been declining. Nigga, argue often with liars, beside that, I got no choice. Rather be Heath Slater before I make it his joint. My point, I'd rather job than have my morals expired. Niggas getting back they bribes, cause I ain't toured in a while. Is you mad or not? Is you rapping her out? She wrapped my cigar, light it up because I'm grateful I just made it this far. God is pale in comparison, it's a shame, it's a problem. I'm so over forever, now my stadiums pop. Niggas sweet like they really real, but be faker than raw. Oh nah, they flaw. I got, oh please, Dwayne Johnson, been number two around these parts. Oh nah, you know why? Cause most of my OGs in the 80s made a movie with Rod. Stop. You're talking to the bad guy. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the bad guy. I'm too sweet. I dare you niggas act fly. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the bad guy. Yeah, Chico. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the bad guy. Toothpick in your eye, boy, don't ask why.
Welcome to Wrestling It Factor Radio, the show that endorsed Arnold Schwarzenegger being drop kicked in the back. Yeah, what's it going, wrestling fans? This is Wayne Benitez, joined by Tommy Two Chips.
Hey, Wayne. Hey, wrestling fans. Whoa, came off a crazy ending to our Money in the Bank pay-per-view, and wrestling's talking about what's going to happen this coming Saturday. All the wrestling worlds will be on Las Vegas this coming Saturday.
Yes, double or nothing. Yes, double it all. And ladies and gentlemen, we have a special guest. Yeah, he taking over this industry all over the Indies. Yeah, putting dudes in their place. Give it up for Jerome Daniels.
What's good? What's good? What's good, man? Y'all doing all right?
Yeah, we doing fine. The flawless one.
Right on, right on.
Yes. Yes, well, you are a wrestling fan growing up?
A little bit. I was in mostly in the martial arts, and I watched wrestling with a few of my friends, and, you know, I ended up, you know, watching it just as much as any other kid growing up. So that's what kind of got me into it. And then my dad was friends with Booker T. His son Brandon, his oldest son Brandon, stayed with us a little bit when I was in school. So I got to see a few Raw shows back in the day. So, yeah, and then I just ended up trying it after I got out of school. So, you know, fast forward 9-10 years and, you know, here I am, you know.
Awesome. That's what's up. Do you have an athletic background? I know the MMA also. Do you have any other athletic background before wrestling?
Yeah, you know, you know how it is, playing all the sports, you know, whatever. I played football during football season, basketball during basketball season, baseball season, you know, stuff of that nature. But I was mostly into martial arts and stuff like that. Yeah, I mean, I've pretty much been involved in, I mean, almost every sport, you know. So I've stayed active most of my life, but combat sports was mostly my thing, so. Mostly jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai, so.
Awesome. Who do you idolize growing up watching wrestling back then?
I mean, it was different people. I liked different. It's hard to describe, like, everybody, you know, like the Stone Colds and, you know, the Rock and things of that nature. Man, I really, really cut for Chris Jericho, man. Like, I remember when he beat the Rock and Stone Cold in the same night, I remember, like, being so lit over that, bro. Like, I was in, like, middle school. I was, like, so hype over that, bro. But, like, yeah, Jericho, even when Jericho was in WCW, like, Chris Jericho was my guy, man. Chris Jericho was my guy. Who else? Shawn Michaels, Mr. Perfect, you know. I'm trying to think, man. Obviously, Harlem Heat, they cut for them. Hubertu Guerrero, Billy Gunn. But, yeah, that's just a few. I really just like the pageantry of wrestling as a whole. I mean, if I had to single out, you know, certain wrestlers, it would probably be like Jericho, Michaels, and Hennig, you know. But I love just wrestling as a whole, man. It was just something different that all of my friends were watching, and I just kind of, like, checked it out, and then it kind of took over my life.
Awesome.
You mentioned you study jiu-jitsu. Does that include Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu by the Gracie family? Or
yes, sir.
Was another...
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I train in Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Yes, sir.
Wow, amazing. Did you ever did you ever get the bug to go into MMA, like, full-time?
Because
you have a lot of wrestlers going to MMA and MMA fighters going to wrestling.
Yeah, I was kind of doing that before it was cool. You know what I mean? I was doing that, like... But like 5-6 years ago. So I was kind of doing that before it was cool. You know, now it's kind of the thing to do now. So I was kind of, that was already out of my system, you know, before it became mainstream. So, yeah, I did a little bit of it, but I never could get away from wrestling, but I did take 2 years to just, you know, fully focus on MMA. But my coaches, Coach Carlos Moreno and Bruno Tank Mendez, they pretty much told me that I should mostly focus on wrestling because there was more longevity to it and I don't have to get my brains kicked in, you know. And so, I mean, that was more of the thing, that it was just trusting their coaching. But, you know, I still train 5 days a week. So, you know, you never get out of it.
Yeah. So what was the hardest thing you had to learn when you were training in jiu-jitsu? What was the hardest thing you learned in jiu-jitsu, and how did that translate into you coming to wrestling? How did jiu-jitsu help you become a better wrestler?
Honestly, jiu-jitsu helps you become a better human being. You know, for wrestling, the hardest thing about jiu-jitsu is patience. It's mostly patience. So many of our generation, we lack patience, and we kind of get frustrated and kind of tip our hand too early and usually gets ourselves into trouble. So, I mean, I really learned that, you know, when to make a move, when to not make a move, when to be patient. You know, sometimes when there's nothing you can do, the best thing to do is nothing. You know, that's something Coach teaches us. And, I mean, it just helps you mentally and physically. So it's kind of like I liken jiu-jitsu to being being out in deep ocean water, being out in, you know, in deep water and just being very tired. You know what I mean? Just being out in deep ocean water and being very tired. It's kind of like that mentally. You always feel like you're drowning. It kind of becomes normal for you, especially with our coaches. They put us in worst-case scenarios day in and day out. So the thing that happens is when you are in worst-case scenarios for so long, like, they kind of cease to exist. So, you know, if you find yourself in a rough spot, it's okay. I've been there before. I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I'm out in the middle of the ocean. My arms are tired, my legs are tired, my lungs are on fire, but I've been here before, you know. So that really helps you as a professional wrestler because, I mean, as you guys know, it's very mentally and physically taxing. And so it's one of those things where if I find myself in those rough spots where I'm frustrated with something in a match or just on the grind of travel or, you know, it's really nothing that I haven't experienced, you know, in some other aspect of life. And that patience that you get from it, it helps you just be able to unwind, you know, when you're not traveling or in the ring. So it's actually helped me as a human being and be a better man in life. So that's the one thing I take away from it. I mean, does it make me a better wrestler? Being able to, you know, use a lot of the techniques? Absolutely. But I think it helps me more mentally be able to deal with the day-to-day grind of being a performer.
Awesome. What's your memories of your first debut match?
I debuted in October 2007 against a guy named Wally Darkman in Arlington, Texas, at a company called PCW, owned by the Bussey family. They actually own a mixed martial arts company in Texas now. It's called XKO. Very successful business family. But, yeah, I remember I was, man, just still, I was still training, but Skandar Akbar had told me that, who was my trainer, Skandar Akbar had told me, you know, it was okay for us to start going out shopping and getting matches. Myself and Adrian Reese, who now performs as Ember Moon in the WWE, a close friend of mine, we just started looking for places to go. And Akbar, who was, you know, a Hall of Famer, he had a very good track record. So, you know, the fact that we were trained by him, we got an opportunity. We both had our first matches that night. And I wrestled a guy named Wally Darkman. I don't think he's active anymore, but he's a super talented guy. I was extra nervous. He kind of brought me in. He was like, you know, hey, what do you do? What's your thing? I talked to him. He made me feel super comfortable right away. It was on this Friday night show called Uncut. It was kind of like their developmental show, and they had like a main show called Full Throttle on Saturdays. And so it was that Friday, and I was just working with Wally, and I went out there, and then, like, as I was walking out there, like, you got a promo, too. And I was like, oh, okay. But I was very comfortable with promos and talking on the microphone. So I went out there, cut a promo, got some good heat. Wally came out. We had a really, really good match. I was nervous, but once, you know, you got out there, it was fine. Had a good match. And then the promoter, the booker, Richard Hill, came up to me right after the match and was like, hey, you want to do Full Throttle tomorrow? And I was like, oh, yeah, sure. And so after that, I was like I was on Full Throttle after one night. So that was pretty cool. I really credit that to Wally Darkman, who really took me, took good care of me. And, you know, PCW had so many good performers that are very prominent in the industry right now. Guys like Action Jackson, Tim Storm, who is a former, you know, world heavyweight champion with the NWA. He was the champion before Nick Aldis. Man, Nobi Bryant, who's in Japan right now. Andy Dalton, you know, another guy that's really doing it. Keith Lee, who's in NXT. Keith Lee is my best friend. He's in NXT right now. He was there. Robert Evans, who writes for WWE. Man, it was a lot of talent right there. So it was a good place for us to grow and stuff like that. So my first match kind of like thrust me out into wrestling, as they say. And so I've been kind of grinding ever since, man.
You have some incredible names. You know, Nick Aldis, I mean, wow. And also,
yeah.
You also had a match with Sammy Guevara one time, correct?
Yeah. Sammy and I have crossed paths a few times, man. Super talented dude, man. That dude right there, man. Sammy Guevara is a super talented guy, man.
So how was competing against him or working with him?
Sammy, the thing about Sammy's one of those few guys in wrestling that, like, you know how our teachers and our mentors and parents tell us, you know, you can do anything you put your mind to. And,
right.
You know, you kind of just take it with a grain of salt, meaning, like, if you believe it, you know, you can kind of do. Like, Sammy can really think up a move and kind of go out there and just do it. Like, hey, I'm going to go step off the rope, jump to the top turnbuckle, and do a flip and twist into the crowd. And he can go do it right after he thinks of it, you know. He's one of those guys that's talented. He's just athletic enough to do whatever he wants to do. And so it was very interesting. It was one of those deep water situations where it was like, oh, man, like, look, I'm a striker, grappler, you know. I can do some high-flying stuff, but I'm not about to go out here and do anything that Sammy's about to do. So it made me evolve. Sammy is the type of person that, man, that's the thing. People talk about how athletically gifted he is, how talented he is. Very few people talk about how he makes you a better performer. Like, Sammy has made people better just by getting in there and running with them. Sammy, you know, he gets good credit, you know, and congrats to him, you know, for, you know, his deal with All Elite Wrestling. You guys, you don't know what you're about to get with that guy, man. It's about to get crazy. But, yeah, I remember going into that match, I was kind of like, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to let him jump and fly, and I'm going to shut that down, you know, and see what
mm-hmm.
happens. And it turned out to be a pretty good match. Fans ate it up. It was really, really good. I remember I came to the back. Sammy's mentor, Lance Romance, he came up to me. He's like, yeah, you really made him work for that one. I was like, yeah, you know, he made me work for it too. We were both exhausted after it. It was a good match, man. It was fun. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I follow him on YouTube. He has his YouTube channel. The guy seems
super popular.
I find him very entertaining, and I have seen some of his matches. The guy he's a freak in that ring.
Yeah, and that's the thing, like, he's only getting better. He's not even close to his prime. It's very scary. It's quite scary how good he's going to be. Like, that's the thing, like, people are, like, this Sammy Guevara that you see right now is nowhere near close to his finished product, man. He's very talented. But that's just a testament to how good the guys are where we come from, you know, guys in Texas, guys like Gino, who trains out at Booker T school, Will Alday, another talented guy, Cam Cole, Kiefer Bartek, Kylie Ray, who's also signed with All Elite. You know, she's an amazing, talented performer. You know, it's just a lot of talent here. You know, you got guys like Andy Dalton, my teammates in the Dot Mob Fight team. We've got a good crop here. You know, I just got out of a feud with Shane Taylor, who has just signed his exclusive deal, and he is now the Ring of Honor World Television Champion, you know?
Yeah, he beat Jeff Cobb.
Yeah, you know, so, well, I mean, I've had the fortune of being surrounded by amazingly talented performers my whole life. You know, my cousin Byron Wilcott, my older cousin Byron Wilcott, I think he's been on this show, Big Daddy Yum Yum. I think he's been on the show.
Yum Yum, yes.
He's my older cousin. Also, another amazingly talented performer who evolves with time, you know. I've had a beautiful journey so far, and I'm super excited about the future, man.
Awesome. Yes, you work with so many talents out there that's in the top companies now, definitely. And I was just, reminiscent of Shane Taylor and Lee as a tag team, Keith Lee, Ring of Honor, when they first showed up. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a funny combination too, because they're both their personalities are like night and day. You know, Keith's a funny, like, comic geek guy, and Shane's a pretty quiet dude. Shane's very quiet and very just, you know, mild mannered. You know, he's a beast in the ring. Like, you know, once that bell rings, he's another man. But, you know, like, his temperament is very calm, relaxed, very chill. And so to see those two together, it made for some interesting travel stories, to say the least. just super, two super talented guys that came together, man, and just, yeah. I mean, you've seen them. You guys have seen them. They did some really good work, and now look at them now. They're both, you know, on their own, you know, kicking ass and taking names, man, and it's a beautiful thing.
Yes, they definitely making waves. That they definitely. And Keith Lee, I see him gonna be on the main roster. It could be in the fall, or it could be by Mania right there.
Yeah, it could be at any moment, man. You know, Keith is another guy that, you know, I came up with, who's just an amazingly talented person, and I had the honor of being one of his last opponents. Well, I was his last male opponent before he signed with NXT up at Beyond Wrestling up there in Massachusetts. And, man, we put on a pretty crazy match. It was a great debut for me, and it was a great send-off for him. So he's a guy who's amazingly talented as well, who you really don't really know what you're getting until you get in the ring with him, because he's so big. But, you know, he's agile. I've heard people say, no, Keith Lee's agile for his size. And I'm like, no, Keith Lee's agile, period. You know, like, he's a unique combination of size, speed, and strength that I mean, I haven't seen it since Brock Lesnar. You know what I mean? Not to gas him too much, but I haven't seen somebody with the combination of skills that he has since Brock. You know, so stay tuned for that, man. You're gonna see something crazy out of him. So,
right.
I mean, just sitting here talking, this is crazy. I've been like, man, I've been around some crazy stuff in wrestling, man. This is pretty cool.
Right, and you definitely had another good entertainment match also several years ago with ACH and Orphean also.
Yeah, ACH and Orphean. Yeah, Albert's another good one. ACH is another good one. Man, that's the thing about the crop here in the area that I was in. I'm not in Texas anymore, but when I was in Texas, it was so many good wrestlers at all times. It was just everywhere, you know. So even ACH and Ophidian, you know, from Chikara, you know, came down here. Like, we had another hotline match, and it was just balls to the wall all over the place and very entertaining. And so that's the thing about us is every match we all get better. Guys like you said, ACH, the Andy Daltons, the Gregory James, the Bear Browns, the Keith Lees, the Shane Taylors, the Ray Rose. You know, we're getting better every time out, man. So
yeah.
You mentioned
definitely.
You mentioned a little bit about how you did you cut a promo. Now, if some wrestlers, well, particularly in WWE, have this stuff, you know, written for them already, you know, and some wrestlers go off, you know, just right there on the spot. Which one would you prefer? Or it doesn't matter to you? Would you prefer someone write your stuff out, or do you prefer just speak from the heart?
I prefer to speak from the heart. I'm a firm believer that you can't really tell me how to say what I would say in a situation. You know what I mean? Like, you can tell me what you want, what points you want me to get across, but I'm a firm believer that you can't really tell me how I would say, so like somebody writing for the Jerome Daniels character or the J.D. Griffey character, you know, like, well, I think Jerome Daniels would say this, 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 and this, and I'm like, I feel like that wouldn't be a writer's line to me. You know, I'm like, well, I think I know how I would say this. Now, if you were writing it and you told me what you wanted to be said, what point you wanted to get across, then I could take that and you know, expand on it, if you will. But the whole like script thing, I mean, I guess I could do it, but it's not something that I would personally want. Me personally, I kind of like to be able to go off the cuff because it's real. You know what I mean? It's real, man. You
right.
It's if I don't believe it, you can't get it. You can't get the audience to believe it. So for me, coming off the cuff, off the top, that's where I shine. But you know, it's different for different wrestlers. So, I mean, that's just my answer personally.
Awesome. What's your thoughts of Cheeseburger also working with him from Ring of Honor?
Man, Cheeseburger, look, man, I gotta say this about my boy Cheese, man. Look, Cheeseburger is the single most underrated performer in the world. Cheeseburger
wow.
is good at so many things. I'm not even kidding, bro. Like, he's the single most underrated performer in the world. He takes on so many roles. He has like a mentor role in a lot of places. He's very smart. He knows how to get a reaction out of a crowd when he wants that reaction. He knows how to get a certain reaction at the time he wants it. And it's something that's, like, as an outsider, people don't understand. It's very, very hard to do. But he's able to do it just naturally. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. He's a very talented wrestler. He's a very talented teacher. I've learned a lot from him in the time that I've spent with him. Like, Chief Bro, man, I could spend the rest of the freaking interview talking about Cheeseburger, man. Like, he's so talented, man, so talented. so talented. He can make anything work, man. He can make anything work. Like, anything you give him, he can make it work. He can make it entertaining. It's crazy, seriously.
I mean, I like Chamber. Wow. I like to see him on Ring of Honor, but I would never guess that he's that deep. Cause maybe because of his size.
Exactly.
He's so small.
Bro, it's crazy, bro. It's crazy, man. That's the thing. Ring of Honor has so many talented dudes, man. Like Cheeseburger and like another one that I mean, I feel like now he's getting the credit that he deserves, but I feel like he's deserved it for a while. Another guy is like Jonathan Gresham, like Gresh and Cheeseburger.
Yes.
Like these dudes are geniuses, bro. Like for real. Like Gresh is one of them dudes too. Like I'll call Gresh up, like, bro, this is what I need to do. This, and he'd be like, oh, man, you just got to do this. And I'm like, oh, I'm mad I didn't think of that. And, you know, Cheeseburger's another one, you know. Like, these guys are just, for real. I mean, I'm glad that Gresh is getting, like, you know, his just due now finally. You know, he's, you know, in Japan right now with, you know, Super Juniors right now doing his thing. You know, Cheeseburger, he's done stuff in Japan as well. I think Cheeseburger's in Japan right now too. I think he's in Japan too. But, like, man, these guys. Yeah, but, like, Cheeseburger's a guy, like I said, you were like, I wouldn't think he's that deep. Yeah, he is. He's that talented, bro. Man, I'm telling y'all. Craziness. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Just go back and watch some of his stuff, man. Just the placement and just the finesse that he does things, man. Like, you see him in matches with like Shane or even if he's in a match with Gresham or Matt Taven or Bully Ray, yeah. And like he can evolve and get the crowd behind him in a match with like Bully Ray where looking at the two of them, you're like, yo, Cheeseburger's about to die, bro.
Yeah.
Like he's about to die, bro. And the crowd behind him. They're behind him like, you know what I mean? Like, that's hard to do. But I think that's one of those unsung talents that people don't understand. You know what I mean? Like, it's – I mean, how many times have we seen, certain wrestlers, you know, going to a match with – as the definitive underdog, and you're like, oh, how long until this guy gets the crap beaten out of him? You know what I mean? But Cheeseburger's one of those guys where you like, man – he might die, but we behind him the whole way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to do. Like, people don't understand, man. Like, Cheeseburger, man, I'm telling y'all, that dude is fire, bro. That dude's fire, bro. I'm telling y'all.
Right. Yeah, I just still remember that Charlie Haas gave him that nickname right there, right on Ring on the TV.
Yeah, because he needs to eat. Yeah, he's like, he needs to eat a cheeseburger. Yeah. Yeah, Haas. Man, Haas is another dude, too, man. Like, bro, it's so much talent in wrestling. Like, it's a beautiful thing. Like, wrestling is so, so beautiful right now, bro. Like, we're All Elite coming in and, you know, Ring of Honor doing well and Evolve doing well, NXT. You know, everybody's – it's so much wrestling that a fan can just turn on the TV and watch what they like. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Watch what they like, bro. Like, you know, rewind a few years ago. That wasn't a thing, but it's a thing now, and that's beautiful, bro. And I'm excited to, you know, be in the thick of it, man. And, I mean, I'm excited for the rest of this year, man. We got some good stuff coming up.
Yeah, like the Crockett Cup was last month. Jim Crockett Cup, they brought that back. That was incredible. I saw that pay-per-view. That was
Man,
that
when
was
the like, great. When was the last Crockett Cup, though? Like, what year was that?
It was 88.
Yeah, like it was 80 something. Yeah, it was like 1980 something, bro. Like, come on, wrestling is beautiful right now, bro.
Yeah.
The National Wrestling Alliance, you know, partnering with Ring of Honor and doing stuff, mm-hmm. you know. New Japan partnering with Ring of Honor.
England.
Like, yeah, dude. You know what I'm saying? It's a beautiful thing, man. Wrestling is. And even like NXT UK, like, there's so much good wrestling. WXW in Germany is a nice company you can watch. Canada's got good wrestling. Mexico's always had good wrestling. Man, you can watch good. You can like for real get on Fight TV, iPay-per-view, like any iPay-per-view, man, the Ring of Honor app, you can the WWE app to watch. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you can watch whatever you like, bro. You
right? Even
it's crazy.
Even the Impact app also, Impact Wrestling.
Yeah, absolutely. With, you know, Impact's got good talent. You know, Impact's female talent is amazing right now. You know, with Tessa, Jordynne Grace, man, those two right now, they killing it. You know, like wrestling is really good right now, man. You got if you want your high flyers, you can watch your high flyers. You want to see the strikers or the grapplers, you can watch them. You want to see the big strong bruisers, you got that. You want the brawlers, you got that. You want, like, you got anything you want, bro. And you can find it now. You can find it. It's crazy.
What are your thoughts on, like, the older wrestlers criticizing the younger wrestlers? Like, Superstar Billy Graham, one of the best champions around, criticized Kofi Kingston and told him to take steroids. What are your thoughts about that, when the older wrestler criticized a younger wrestler for doing his thing?
I mean, I'm of two minds of it. I mean, I'm a firm believer that everybody's entitled to their opinion. You know, we got to understand, like, there's a part of me that want to be like, hey, man, tell the old heads to sit down somewhere. You know what I mean? But,
mm-hmm.
like, at the same time, I'm like, that's going to be me one day. And I'm going to be trying to tell the young cats to be like, hey, dog, y'all need to slow down. Y'all need to do this. And I would hope that my input wasn't tossed to the side like that. So I would say, like, why is he saying that? Like, okay, let's break it down. Why is Billy saying that? Because Kofi's not the biggest guy. Well, let's think about who were the marquee guys when he was wrestling. They were all big dudes. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
he's
Bruno.
Saying that because that, you see what I'm saying? Like, that's just because that's just what he's used to. And wrestling has evolved without him to a degree. But we also have to lend that respect to say that he was a part of the guard that got it to where it is now. You know what I'm saying? He's from that crop
mm-hmm.
of wrestlers that got it from point A to point B. So we can't really discount what he says. Do I think he should have done it on such a public forum? No. But he's entitled to do that. You know what I mean? It's kind of like the old guy that's at the end of the street, and he's always yelling, you know, get off my grass. It's like, well, get off his grass, and let's just leave him alone. He won't bother anybody. You know what I mean? Like, it's just one of those things where I think it got so much attention because, you know, the historic reign of Kofi, like what it meant for, you know, African-American culture. And, you know, it was so even people who weren't African-American, they understood what it meant for everybody. So as a whole, I think the wrestling community as a whole, black, white, Hispanic, whatever, Asian, it didn't matter, jumped on it. It was like, this is a great occasion. This is amazing. Like, this is, and then I think there was one guy who was like, well, he should do this. You know, I don't think he was necessarily, like, dumping on Kofi or anything. He was just like, he was stating the obvious, like, Kofi doesn't look like what we would typically see as a WWE champion. And I don't even mean skin tone. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Up until recently, guys like AJ Styles wouldn't have been world champion. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is, like, we got to understand that this business is evolving. It's evolving for the better, but we can't fault the guy from a different era for saying that looks weird when it does look weird, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
For where he comes from, you know what I mean? So I'm sure Wilt Chamberlain is probably like, why y'all wear such long basketball shorts when you play basketball? You know? Is it saying that he thinks that we're bad players? No. It's weird to him because it's a different – he's from a different era. But I think – I don't even think he would have gotten as much flack if it would have been anything else. I think it's just because it was Kofi and it was such a monumentous occasion is why it got such a backlash. But I would just say, like, you know, let's just try to keep it in the context in which he meant it. he's saying take steroids. Like, that was like, he was in the steroid era. You know what I mean? Guys did that back then to, mm-hmm. to stay big, to keep that. Like, he's not saying it like, you know, like, that's, he's from that era, you know? So
right.
let's take what he's saying in the context and let's keep it moving. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, let's take what he said in the context, keep it wrestling, and let's get money. You know what I mean? You know,
yeah.
some people want to throw stones at him, and I'm just like, man, come on, chill, bro. It's not that serious. You know, it's not. You know, but yeah, that was my take on that.
What are your thoughts on the man, aka Becky Lynch? She's been the hottest thing in wrestling for the past, what, 6 months at least? Probably longer than that.
Oh, yeah.
And you have some wrestlers. You have some wrestlers that criticize her. You know, she shouldn't be using the term the man. You know, one of our warriors, I think it was, I forgot which one said it. I think Animal said it. I don't like the term the man. You know, and some other wrestlers have said that. What's your thoughts on Becky Lynch and her gimmick?
I don't have an opinion on it, man. I think honestly, it's her doing her, man. It's her doing what she does to get over, man. I don't have a problem with it. You know, I would say kind of think of it in the sense of, what do you call the best player on the team? Like, oh, that dude's the man. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I think it's just her. Of being like, I'm the man, I'm the best player on the team.
Right.
I don't think she's calling herself a man. Again, like, I would say, let's take it in the context in which she's saying it. Like, if this wasn't mm-hmm. the big, if we weren't in the big feminist movement or whatever, would that be an issue? I don't think so.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't think so. I don't think it would be an issue. I think with the, you know, the social justice thing going on right now and the whole, I think that might be what's adding fuel to it, to where people want to attack, or if somebody attacks it, they attack that person. But I think she's just saying, I'm the best, you know?
I agree with you 100%.
She's not the first wrestler to call herself the best, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Seth Rollins called himself the man, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, man. I just take it in the context and
right. And
what she's saying. She's like, I'm the man. Like, whatever, bro, like, you know, like, whatever, you know. But
mm-hmm.
that's how I look 100%. At it. That's how I look at it. I don't. And again, if you've ever sat down and talked with her, like, she's super sweet, super respectful, super kind to everybody. So I don't know, man. It's hard. I'm hard pressed to think anything negative about anything that she says in a promo or on social media. You know what I mean? That stuff is so, you know what I mean? Like, to me, that's my thing. Like, if I go out in a promo, like Shane and I, we cut some pretty mean promos on each other, you know, a few months back in our feud before he signed his exclusive deal. We had a feud and we said some pretty harsh things, and I'm going to beat you within an inch of your life, and, you know, this, this, and that. And he's like, you're a spoiled rich kid. You ain't ever had to do nothing. Come off the porch and see what happens. Like, you know what I mean? It's just, it's gamesmanship. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? Like, I think people take it too far. I think the only reason it's becoming a thing is because she's one of the top female performers in the world. You know, if she was Sally, who cares, wrestling at a bingo hall in Utah, nobody would care if she called herself the man. Nobody would care. You know what I mean? I think it's just where she is on the pecking order in wrestling right now. She's one of the best performers right now. She's one of the most over people. She's got a big buzz right now. She's making waves, kicking ass, and taking names. So
mm-hmm.
people are trying to find anything to be upset about. And that's just what goes with the territory, man. So a guy like me, I just try to stay in the middle. You know, any success that I get, I'm just kind of like, yeah, it's cool. It's par for the course. If I hit some road bumps or, you know, some roadblocks or, you know, it's part for the course. I stay the same. I'm just chilling, you know. So that's my approach to everything as a whole. Like the fact that we're talking about her right now is good for women's wrestling. The fact that we're on your show talking about that is good for women's wrestling because there are so many good women performers right now that will get some spotlight because we're talking about women's wrestling. When's the last time we were just like, it was a topic of conversation, women's wrestling. And like, it's not like women's wrestling got good out of nowhere. That's not the case. There's been good women wrestlers, bro. It's just that the culture, the wrestling culture just wasn't ready for it. It was, we want to see bra and panties matches. But we've had good women wrestlers, you know what I mean? Like, that's why it took Adrian, Ember Moon, so long to get to the height that she was at because she wasn't a bra and panties match wrestler. She was the only girl in our class. You know what I'm saying? So.
Oh, wow.
You know what I'm saying? So she, when you see these women out here, they don't want to be known as like, I'm a girl wrestler. They want to be known as wrestlers, you know? They want to be known as wrestlers. Adrian doesn't call herself a women's wrestler. She's a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
She's a wrestler. The fact that she's a female is just simply just bonus information, I guess. So it's not weird to hear, like, just from the women that I've been around, like Mia Yim, Jordan Grace, Tessa Blanchard. These girls will punch you in your mouth, bro. You know what I mean? They just so happen to be women. You know what I mean? But they're wrestlers. You know what I mean? Like, so for me, when I hear somebody like Becky Lynch be like, yeah, I'm the man, I don't look at it any other way or saying, like, I'm the man, I'm the best, you know?
Yeah.
It's not weird for me.
How important do you think kayfabe is? Because some people think that kayfabe is dead, and some people say, you know, it's not dead. Do you think we still need kayfabe now, or do you think it's already out and over when it comes to control wrestling?
I don't know, man. I believe that people say kayfabe is dead. I will never subscribe to that magazine personally. I think it has a time and place. When Shane and I are, you know, when we were in a tough feud, you know, that we had, or Keith and I, like, these are all good friends of mine, you know. But nobody wants to see us beat each other within an inch of our lives, and we've got this blood feud going, and then you see us on Instagram hanging out later that night. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of takes away from it. But at the same time, I'm also of the mindset of, if I saw Josh Brolin and Robert Downey Jr. together after watching Endgame, I wouldn't be like, oh, you ruined the movie. You know what I'm saying? So it's different. It just kind of depends on how you look at it. I was trained by Skandar Akbar and Killer Tim Brooks, so they're very old school. They were like, if you in a feud with somebody, you don't ride with them. You don't, you know what I mean? You not seen with them, no nothing. And so, you know, there's always a part of me that'll be like, kayfabe, brother. I mean, kayfabe is it has such a bigger meaning than people know, and it's just like one of those things that I personally won't talk about outside of a wrestling situation, outside of a wrestling setting. But I think kayfabe as the fans know it is dead. Kayfabe in itself is alive and well. Kayfabe, the true kayfabe is alive and well. But kayfabe as fans know it, I could say maybe I could be like, it's in intensive care.
Yeah, on life support.
It's on life support. But like the true kayfabe is alive and well.
Okay. Because Ronda Rousey broke kayfabe when she was when her and Becky were going, Becky Lynch was going to the Twitter feed, and I personally, as a fan, was upset with Ronda on it. I mean, I forgave her.
Okay, what do you mean? I don't know what happened. I don't know what Ronda said. What did Rhonda say?
Okay. Let me set up just a little bit. Becky Lynch was killing her on Twitter, making fun of her, doing some psychology mind games.
Yeah.
And then it was on wrestling. Becky Lynch got arrested, and she got her pictures taken, like she was at the police station. So Ronda Rousey called Becky Lynch by her real name, Rebecca Quinn, and saying those photos are not real, and you were taken in the hallway of the arena. You know, that's one thing she said. And then
she did
a video. Yeah.
Oh wow. Oh wow. I don't know.
Then Ronda did on her YouTube channel. Which is a great YouTube channel. You find out so much about her and her family. She was doing on YouTube channel, and she said, "You know what? I'm a break kayfabe. Wrestling fake. It's fake. I'm a crap on the sport that the fans love." And she just went out, all out on it, and WWE kind of endorsed it.
Well, then did she break kayfabe? That's what I'll ask you. Did she break kayfabe?
So, yes, she did.
If you ask me, if she's saying all of these things, and she's saying it's fake and this and that, and then, she's calling her by her real name and stuff, and they talking about how
mm-hmm.
she's fake and this and that. I think the next time I see them in the ring, I'm waiting for something real to happen. So, I don't know. Is that
She
how
could
do
have
we
done
know?
It in a, I think she could have done it a different way, personally.
Possibly.
Could have done it a different
Possibly.
Way, and still give credit to the main event. And it didn't hurt that much, but it hurt a little bit because a lot of fans got upset about it.
But that's what I'm saying, like, when I say, like, is it breaking kayfabe if I'm wrestling Shane, like, if I'm wrestling or Keith Lee, Keith is a better example. If I'm wrestling Keith and, he calls me by my real name, and he hits with these real stories, and people are like, "Ooh, you're not supposed to say that in wrestling, Ooh, you ain't supposed to really say that." The first time I throw a punch and I hit Keith, they're gonna be like, "Oh, wait, this is beyond wrestling. This is real. Did we break kayfabe?"
Ah, okay, I understand what you're saying. Good point.
Did we break kayfabe?
Did we make you feel
a certain way?
Well, I did. Because
if Rhonda's turning heel, and you got to understand, like, being in this game right now, it's hard because fans, have gotten the peek behind the curtain.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to get people to feel real emotions about certain things. Rhonda calling wrestling fake? That's a good way to get heat from anybody that's a true fan of the sport. That's a great way to get heat.
No, that's a good point. I ain't looking from that point of view before. You made me think, sir. I appreciate it.
I'm just saying, bro. Did she? Did she? Or are you still getting work, brother? I don't know. These are the questions you got to ask yourself, bro. I'm just saying. I'm not saying, but I'm just saying. You feel me? I'm just saying, bro.
Yeah.
Those things happen. No, seriously, man. Like a few weeks ago, I was wrestling a guy, Bryson Scott, good friend of mine. It was on the anniversary of my father's passing, and he made a comment about my father's passing, and people who were at that particular show know that I came to wrestle on the day that my father passed away. I still went and wrestled. And, I was bawling my eyes out that night and everything at that particular show. So he said that, and the crowd immediately was like, "Yo, F this guy, bro." And we didn't – and I just ragdolled him for, 5 minutes, tapped him out, got a great reaction. And everybody was like, he got real heat that night. He didn't mean no harm. We talked about it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, come on, bro. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's wrestling, bro. It's wrestling.
Yeah.
It's wrestling. But these are the questions
mm-hmm.
you ask yourself. Like, that's what's the beauty of wrestling, because you never know, bro. You never know. They might you know, Becky and Ronda might have beef. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be a work. We don't know. We don't know. Only they know. Only those two people know. That's what I say. That's what I mean when I say kayfabe, as the fans know it, is dead. But the true kayfabe can't die. True kayfabe can never die. It can never die.
Yeah,
true kayfabe can
right.
never die. It can never die. You gotta talk to the old heads that built this industry on their back. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They probably won't give y'all the answers, but like to understand like more of what the concept is. You know, it's always
yeah.
weird the conversation of kayfabe. You know, it's just it's mm-hmm. always like. You know,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. You know.
We get like, the wrestling like in Japan or Tokyo. I mean, like wrestling in Japan or Mexico one day.
Yeah, I'll be in Japan before the end of this year. So, I'll be at Wrestle One before the end of the year. So, yeah.
Cool.
I'll be there. Hopefully, Mexico at some point this year. I'll be in England in the fall. So, we're putting in work, man. We're putting in work.
Because there's a lot of good wrestling in Japan, man. Whole lot. I watch, from time to time, I watch New Japan Pro Wrestling. This stuff is good. Because, you know, everything's on YouTube now. And they got so much good wrestling there.
That's the beautiful thing. That's why a lot of guys got better opportunities from there. We would have never gotten Finn Balor and Shinsuke and Kenta. We wouldn't have gotten those guys if it wasn't for, you know, the accessibility of this wrestling overseas now. You know, social media, YouTube, a lot of the internet being able to give us fans and us performers a platform to show and us fans a way to see these people. It's a beautiful thing. So, yeah, that's the beautiful thing about it is when Shinsuke Nakamura showed up at NXT, he got one of the loudest pops because he wasn't a stranger. You know, if he would have tried to do that in the 90s, it would be hard-pressed for him to get that kind of reaction. You know
right.
what I mean? But he shows up in the internet era, and we know who Shinsuke was as soon as his music hit. He comes and
mm-hmm.
we're like, oh, that's Shinsuke. Oh, we know all about this guy, you know. And it would have been very difficult to market him as anything else. You know, the E, they sometimes trademark guys and kind of build their brand on that guy, you know. So they own the
mm-hmm.
rights to it, just smart business plan. It's just hard-pressed to do that for guys like Samoa Joe or AJ Styles or, you know, Shinsuke. You can't call Shinsuke Nakamura anything but Shinsuke Nakamura because now we know this man. We know who this is. You know, guys
mm-hmm.
like Keith Lee or EC3, Ricochet, Adam Cole. You're not calling them anything else because the internet is already is so much accessibility to different you know, genres of wrestling, different companies, different areas, different countries. It's the exposure of wrestling is at an all-time high, and it helps performers like myself and the guys that I mentioned, the ACHs. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
if they try to call ACH Bobby Flay, you'd be like, that's ACH. Get out of here. We know who that is. They'll probably get ACH champ if they tried to do that. I'm not saying they would. I don't know the plans for Al. But, you know, yeah, man, dude, like it's – I think there's such good wrestling. Like the fact that you ask about New Japan, like you wouldn't have been doing this 15 years ago. We wouldn't have even been talking about New Japan wrestling 15 years ago.
Right.
Because either you or I wouldn't have known what the heck it was. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I've just – like the past like 5 or 6 years, been watching archived footage of New Japan. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know how old it was. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, man, they've got their own legends, their own, you know what I mean? Like, it's so crazy. So, man,
What type of matches you like to do? You like tag team matches better or singles matches better? Which one do you prefer, or it doesn't matter?
Me personally, like to perform in or watch?
To perform.
I love performing like singles matches, man. I'm a all eyes on me type of guy. I love to watch pure tag team wrestling, like not the tag team where they throw two guys together and make them tag, but I mean like actual tag teams, like the Revival, or like the Young Bucks. These guys are like actual tag team. Like a good tag team match, bro, is entertaining. But for me personally, I like to perform in singles matches. But that's the thing. For me, tag team match, like there's a psychology, there's an art to it that I'm not particularly great at. I am a fan of watching it when it's done well. And you know a good tag team match when you see it, man. You know them.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just two guys on a team. You know, a good tag team match, you know it when you see it.
The Lucha Brothers and LAX and Impact, they had some great matches.
Yeah. Yeah, LAX, Lucha Brothers and LAX are perfect examples of good tag team wrestling. Those are perfect examples. That's a perfect example of a good tag team match. I personally like to perform in singles matches because I kind of like to be able to control all the variables. If it's just me and another guy, I can control as many variables as possible, and I can get the match from A to B without too many incidents. But when you've got four guys, you know, that's three other minds that might not be in sync with mine. You would hope two of them, you would hope at least one of them being your partner will be in sync with you, but you never know. So, man, like, for me personally, I like to perform better in singles matches. I'm a decent tag team wrestler, but if I'm being honest, it's because I tagged with people I had really good chemistry with, and they kind of took the guesswork out of my hands. Like, I've normally tagged with, like, Keith Lee, Anobi Bryant, or my cousin Byron, Big Daddy Yum Yum. Those are the only people I really, like, tagged with. But even then, like, I have to give more credit to them because I was just kind of like, all right, I'm just going to be where I'm supposed to be and do what I'm supposed to do and hope it turns out well, you know. I'm a singles guy, but I don't want it to be like I'm taking a knock at tag wrestling because I love watching tag team wrestling.
What was the longest match you ever performed in? Cause I've seen your matches. I've seen most of your matches been like maybe like 20 minutes. Have you done any like an Ironman match yet?
I've never had an Ironman match. My longest match I've ever had was 40 minutes. It was like almost 40 minutes. It was like 38 and some change. It was with a guy named Matthew Palmer. I don't know if y'all have heard of him. He's another super, super talented guy. Y'all might know him as Ember Moon's husband. He's a super talented wrestler. He's a pro wrestling Revolver's heavyweight champion. Former, he just lost the title to Larry D a few weeks ago, Sammy Callahan's promotion in Iowa, which is another good promotion. I just debuted there. Check them out. They're freaking amazing. We wrestled for like 40 minutes, and it was grueling, man. It was nuts. It was nuts. We beat the crap out of each other for, about 40 minutes. That was my longest one.
Wow.
But those Ironman, and it was tough, man. So those Ironman matches, like, dude, I credit those guys because people don't understand. You think watching an Iron Man match is crazy. Imagine being in one. It's a different ball game, bro.
Yeah.
It's a different ball game. But.
Yeah. I like wrestling for the technical stuff, you know, for the moves and everything. So look, for me, in my opinion, the longer the match goes on, the better it is. That's,
oh, yeah.
You know, that's my opinion.
That's where you find out. I'm in agreement with you on that. That's when you find out what cloth a guy is cut from. There's a guy, like Jonathan Gresham is a perfect example. Gresham is a guy who his technique doesn't decline throughout the duration of the match. Like, I'm the type of person, like, my submissions and transitions to getting to submissions will still be crisp, like, through the end of the match. But my strikes might not be as crisp 40 minutes in as it was, you know, 5, 10, 15 in. But Gresham is somebody who, like, every aspect of his wrestling is just as crisp if it's 50 mm-hmm. minutes into a match, an hour into a match at the beginning. Gresham is probably somebody that you're probably a big fan of.
I am.
So Gresham is somebody who his intensity, his technique, it doesn't decline over duration of a match. So. Yeah.
Him and Jay Lethal had a match. I mean,
Jay Lethal, another example. Those two are all right. So you already know what I'm talking about. So yeah, you good?
Yeah,
you
exactly,
know.
Man.
You already know. Okay, say no more. You already know what it is. Yeah.
Oh, sir, it's been a pleasure talking with you. I'll be a blast to have you. You know, to take time out of your schedule to talk with us.
Oh, absolutely, man.
Great time, sir.
Oh, thank you guys, man. I've enjoyed you. Thank you for the platform, the opportunity. Thank you for giving me an opportunity for you guys to give me a platform to put me over. I hope I put my fellow wrestlers over. I try to spend more time talking about my fellow wrestlers and put them over. Thank you guys for putting me over. I appreciate it. And hopefully we can do this again sometime.
Oh, I hope so too, sir. Good luck to you. Hope to see you, in WWE, Ring of Honor, someplace. Cause you definitely going there one day. You definitely going.
Oh, thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Yeah, stay tuned. It'll be there sooner than you know, bro. All
right, Mr. The Flawless One. Have a good night.
Awesome. Thank you.
Bye.
Uh-huh.